looked, I even opened this and was like, I loved Silt. That was wrong. What I liked was We the People.
Okay, guys, you heard him. Robert went to Ballet X last week. And Robert, is this the first Ballet X production that you went on without me?
No. I had gone to Ballet X previously, before you.
You had a life before me?
It's pre-Lou.
Main character energy I know. Much over here.
What an amazing, amazing show. I wish that everyone can see ballet in those little pieces every single time it's their first show.
Like you, a primer.
Yes, you get to see. And the breadth of the abilities of all of these dancers, it was absolutely amazing. And to your point for program A, so many people brought up how that one dancer had to be in basically every show.
Lainey Jackson, We See You.
Yes. So great. So great.
Going back, I think we need to skew because what Robert is talking about when he's mentioning the bite-sized pieces, much like last week with program A, program B, which we saw this most recent weekend, mm-hmm. had, I believe it was 9 past productions in 5 to 10 minute increments, as well as a world premiere of friend of the pod, Keelan Whitmore.
What an incredible incredible piece. Keelan,
this piece had everything.
Yes.
And imagine me doing my Stefan here. It had live music. It had mm-hmm. cutting edge choreography.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I'm doing.
Lou is hand waving.
Hand.
Shaking.
Shaking.
With a 3, maybe.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It was only like 3 fingers up.
I didn't catch that from Row L.
Yes. Oh, Row C, you're talking to over here.
Oh, hush.
Can we please plug and promote the Young Patron Circle? Because I got to see that show for $30 and sat Row C. Loving it. And I will say, Katie, who's running that program over mm-hmm. there, did an amazing job of starting this season off with the Young Patron Circle on Friday night. It's bumping. It's bumping over there. And they're building something great.
Amazing. Robert, something yes. that occurred to me last week during program A. How is the choreography archived? I don't expect you to have an answer. This is just a rhetorical question.
I was thinking the same exact thing. I don't know. And how do you archive choreography that was here before video? What possibly could have happened, right? They could have videoed mm-hmm. the shows and mm-hmm. you knew exactly what to do. But that's a great question for a choreographer in the future. How do you archive that? How do you mm-hmm. lock that in? How do you write it down? How do you make sure that your artistic license is solidified?
Preserved.
Right, exactly. And not copyrighted. Or what is that process?
Can.
What do you say about Balanchine and the trust, the Balanchine yeah. trust? They did something with it. Yeah. Nobody can do it without their permission.
Right.
Guys.
Oh my gosh.
More to come. More to come as we discover.
Thought.
What's going on here?
Also, are the costumes archived?
They have to be because those bunny ear ones uh-huh. with the pleather uh-huh. had little cuts from like, oh, somebody slid on the floor one time and the leather starting to break.
Either that or they were just dancing really hard.
That's true, but I series. Think that these, they
you
looked
these
like
were
they were
the...
reused mm. pieces. That they archive it possibly like wow. a museum does their art.
And also last week there were several sets of angel wings for one of the program A productions. So I thought about that as well.
Yeah.
Robert, other than Ballet X Program B, you were extremely busy last week.
I doubled down. Tripled down.
You quad down. Let's be honest. You went to the PMA Contemporary Craft Show. You went to the Philadelphia Chamber Music Society Modigliani Quartet.
Same night.
You went to brunch at the bar.
I did.
Did you take a nap after all of this?
When was nap time? Saturday afternoon, I think I got like 2.5 hours in, which was a nice pick-me-up. PMA Craft Show, let me tell you, Lucinda, we have lined up probably the next whole entire season just from the PMA Craft Show. So many amazing artists, local amazing artists that won blue ribbons, that have been to the show before. There was a Fairmount Philadelphia contingent. Mm-hmm. That all come from this one studio that I think we need to go and see the whole thing in person.
What's the name of the studio?
I'll get back to you.
Okay.
But, I mean, the whole place was as of gossip.
Hi. Okay, we'll touch on this for a minute.
I mean, every trustee was there.
And every time I feel like you open up the Inquirer, this story unfolds a little bit more. Yes, guys, we are talking about Sasha Suda and the PMA.
Which, do you know, that's not a real name? I think it's a good name. Alexa or something.
Sasha.
Because, you know me, the accountant, was deep diving on the 990 today. So it's accountant talk.
I know what a 990 is. For those who don't know, 990s are financial statements that all nonprofits have to put forth. And when you put them forth, there is a list of the staff who makes over a certain threshold. Do you know, is that threshold standardized?
I think you have to list the top five
executives.
You have to list every officer, mm-hmm. And then the top five paid staff.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But rolled into PCMS Quartet. Absolutely amazing. Shout out to Chelsea and to Marquise. Incredible, incredible work. They're really supported by their president and CEO at PCMS about their Young Friends program. It was a Young Friends night. The place was packed. These four artists out of France killed it, had a very modern piece to start, and then two classic movements of Beethoven. Mm. And then there was drinks at Attico afterwards where you got to talk with the artists. And so we got kind of insider information on what goes into practicing all the time and all of these performances, how they're on the move for this tour. Like the next night they were supposed to be in New York, and then they were going to Canada, and then they were going to the West Coast. And they really have to work with their bodies to then adjust, to then make sure that they have time to practice as well as time to kind of
rehydrate, take care of yourself, self-care.
Exactly.
Interesting.
It was great.
Did they have to kick you out of Attico?
Well, I left. They might have kicked out the rest of them, but I had to meet my bedtime because the rest of the weekend kept going on.
All right, tell us about brunch at the bar.
Oh, Nick and Aaron absolutely put a show together for a beginner ballet. You got to learn the new steps. We got to meet other young friends. We got to meet our old friends. We got to meet all the types of friends. Trustees showed up to take a class, and then there was a boozy brunch afterwards. Cannot wait. I can't wait to see what happens with this new building because we won't be limited to only 50 people in the studio. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking 100 people in the studio learning beginner ballet. Boozy brunch afterwards.
Love that.
It's going to be awesome.
Robert, I'm so excited for the conversation that we're about to get to with Natalie Hope McDonald. Are you ready for it?
Can't wait. On to the conversation.
Let's go.
Greetings. This is Robert Marsh, and you're listening to Philly Has Heart Podcast. In this podcast, we sit down with the artists, gallerists, educators, curators, and other creatives who comprise the Philadelphia art world to discuss upcoming performances, exhibits, other events, and initiatives that are not to be missed. The art scene in Philadelphia is so rich that it can seem daunting. Consider this your weekend cultural recommendation. With me always is my producer, Lucinda Deggerlin.
Hello, hello.
And today we have Natalie Hope McDonald. We're so happy to have you.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes, yes.
In the studio and everything.
It's perfect. It's perfect. We had the privilege to see Natalie Hope McDonald's work at Pi Gallery on their first Friday, where we got to give out drinks, give out cocktails.
Got people drunk.
Got people a little tipsy.
That was great.
It was awesome.
You know what? They bought things.
Yes, they did. They did. Yes, they did. I mean, there were a lot of sold stickers that night at Pi Gallery.
Very good.
And yes.
A lot of red dots.
We were standing next to the price list, and people were like, I'm looking for the price list. Oh, we have it right here.
Right here. Come on by.
Right next to the booth.
Have a cocktail. Have a price list.
Thank you. Thank you. You know what I remember from that night is that somebody who was in from New York bought your art off of the wall and left with it. I think usually it's packaged up.
Yes, I think that happens right. When somebody isn't going to be able to get back. Yeah. They might make right. A special arrangement with the gallery.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Luckily, I had more work that I could put up.
I
have endless amounts. So I said, I can fill that space.
Wait, Yeah. Can we talk about that? So you're bringing X amount, right, with you. You work with the gallerist to curate what the look will be.
Yes, they were fantastic, I gotta say. I went in with a really strong idea of what I wanted, but I was careful because I didn't quite know how they would, you know, how they work with artists.
Right. And
every gallery is very different. Some galleries are really interested in doing the curation completely on their own. Mm-hmm. Others really invite the artist in to feel it out and get their perspective. I was able to hang the secondary room on my own and provide that perspective, and it was really great. Yeah. They were so cool about it, but I think they also liked my vision for it,
yes.
So it worked out really well.
Okay, and I'm going to throw out an interjection. I don't know if you mentioned this, but it was Pi Gallery with Alexa and Margaret, who are our guests maybe about a month ago.
Natalie, take us back. We asked our guests for their origin story. Can you tell us where your journey started that brought you to art? You know, what are those moments, both big and small, in your life that led you to where you are now?
Yeah, that's very interesting. I think, like any kid, I was an artist at a very early age. And I was thinking about this when you guys had mentioned it. I think the distinction is that some of us just stay with it. I think all kids do it,
yeah.
But society as a whole doesn't really encourage creativity on that level. You know, it's cute when you're little. Right. Oh, that's great. She's got her picture hanging up at the classroom or whatever. But when it starts to get serious, they kind of question whether it's a real career.
Yeah.
And I think I did it. I mean, we're a product of our environment. Luckily, I had parents who were really, really supportive. But I think even they were like, well, what kind of job are you going to get when you when you get a little older?
Yes.
And as a result, I ended up studying English and going into journalism for a long time. So I did have a job. But it was always nagging at me because if you'd asked me when I was little versus a couple years ago, you know, really any time in my life, my dream job was being an artist. I just couldn't figure out quite how to do it.
Yeah.
I wish, like some amazing artists I admire, that I found my voice when I was younger. Mm-hmm. In my 20s, I was still experimenting. I really didn't find my artistic voice until, I would say, more recently. And I decided to just go for it. I was doing, you know, writing a little bit, and then I was doing art, and it started to be like 50-50, and then finally it just became my full-time job. But since I was a kid, it's funny, before my dad passed away, He gave me a few pieces he had saved from when I was little.
Oh.
My mom was into Swedish death cleaning before we even knew what that was.
Relatable.
She got rid of everything. Like, yes. I would look for something that, 2 minutes that I thought I had 2 minutes ago, and it was gone. Like it was immaculate. She didn't keep things.
Yeah.
Like, but apparently he would occasionally grab things and keep them in his office, and he showed me this book I had made before I knew how to write, but it was this weird paper book, and I'm trying to figure out how to do something as cool as that now, because it is so cool. Oh. It's this abstract art piece, and I can't believe I have it. I can't believe I did that as a kid.
Right.
It's like we grow up, we learn how to do art, we go through classes, and then we want to get back to that place we were when we didn't overthink things.
Right.
So I think I do that a lot. I'm really trying to remember what that was like, to be so pure about it.
Yeah.
But that thing that my dad gave me was amazing. I was so excited to see
That's incredible.
I was impressed. Right. I was like, who did this? Yeah. I couldn't have possibly done this.
Right.
Why can't I do that now? Right. What's wrong with me? So, you know, those of us who still stick with it, I don't know. We're gluttons for punishment, yes. I suppose.
Oh gosh. Oh. How about then your process of making art? One of our listeners always wants to know what music people listen to when they make their art.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Sometimes I work in silence.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have the television on. I do listen to a lot of podcasts.
Nice.
I'll admit, I listen to a lot of true crime podcasts.
Oh.
And yet I don't think they really affect what I'm doing, because I'm sort of in the mode. Mm-hmm. It depends on what kind of art I'm doing, whether I'm painting or I'm doing illustration. Or, you know, word writing, the text art I do. The text art, I'm usually quiet, but songs often pop into my head when I'm working. So a lot of times, musical references will be in a lot of my work.
Oh,
but it's not always playing. It may have been something I heard earlier,
yeah.
or so forth. But yeah, I come up with a lot of ideas walking and just giving it some time, you know. For this last exhibition, I knew I wanted to do really big paintings because I hadn't done them in a while, but I couldn't figure out how to connect them to the word-based work. And I was walking around New York City, and I finally figured it out. I had this aha moment where I saw some piece of graffiti that I knew was going to somehow connect my art and make the show the kind of show I wanted it to be. But it comes at the strangest times.
Oh.
Who knows?
You just got to live life.
Yeah, I think you have to be open to it.
Yeah.
Which means you're open to a lot of, you tend to be a little more sensitive to things, which has its good points and its bad points sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes you want to just tune out the world.
Yes.
And there's many times I want to do that.
Right.
And then there's other times if you do that a little too much, you're not really getting the inspiration that you might miss.
Right. When we read about your work, the term mixed media commonly pops up. Is there a certain combination of materials that you frequently employ?
Yeah. For paintings, for years I've been using acrylic-based paint, but I also draw a great deal, and I use oil-based pens. So I do a lot of mixing of different materials on paintings. But in more recent years, I've been collecting reclaimed wood, vessels, all kinds of interesting materials, sometimes industrial material, and reworking them into new types of art. I love that they come with history.
Yeah.
Unlike a blank canvas, which is very fresh, there's something sustainable and interesting about some of these existing materials. And
right.
I do like that sustainability factor. I'm also really interested in the quality. Like, there's this like old wood you look at and you go, oh my God, what can I do with this? It's so beautiful. I'm going to write all over it. I'm going to do something completely crazy. Or plates. Plates were a big one. I started getting into using those. And I love the idea that they're not new. I don't really like to buy new ones. I prefer ones that have been at somebody's dinner table.
Yeah.
You know, you think, who sat around these? What kind of dinners did they have? What are their conversations like? I love recycling that. So that's part of my process. It's really fun to go thrifting.
I love it.
I always find good
yes.
stuff. And a lot of times it dictates what kind of work I end up doing. Yeah. I didn't realize how much that was true until I thought about it recently. And hanging this last show, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm finding all these amazing pieces. I think it's really bringing out something in me. It's
right.
good. It's in a good way.
If we were to ask you about your favorite show you ever produced, what is the first one that comes to mind? And what about it keeps a special place?
This last show was really important because it was very much the vision I had. But years ago, I did an exhibition at the William Lay Community Center, which I started creating these small illustrations. I ended up doing more than 500 of them.
Wow.
Maybe even more. I can't remember. I don't count that high. I'm not forgetting the numbers. But I did all of these pieces in my kitchen because I didn't have an art studio yet. And I ended up just covering the lobby with art everywhere. And they were all hand-drawn pieces. And I think seeing how like overwhelming and how crazy that could be and how much it reached people, it really created conversations between people of different generations, especially because it was a gallery, but it was in a community center.
Right.
So it reached very different people who might not normally go into a museum or an art gallery per se. Right. It was very fulfilling to see the reactions to it. That meant more to me than anything. And I couldn't believe that I was doing it at my desk under the steps in this old city apartment I had. And all these pieces were made there.
Wow.
You know, before I had a place to really make art. And I think that will always be a special exhibition for me.
Oh my gosh.
I like to think it inspired other people after that to really rethink how they could use that space and not be limited.
Right. Right.
It opened up the doors.
Yes, was this more like curated by yourself?
Yeah, I hung every piece because they had all these people ready to help, but I knew that part of the process would be me hanging in that piece. I really love doing salon walls, and you saw a little bit of that in the last show. Uh-huh. It's one of my things I love doing, and I kind of just do it very much by eye. I don't measure anything.
Wow.
And I knew I needed to do that. It was the way that the flow of the show. Of course, it took forever. I don't know why I thought that I should do that, but in my mind, I went, this is a great idea.
Right.
I should definitely be the only person hanging this.
500 of them.
And becoming a crazy person as I did it and cursing a lot when I got up really high because there are high ceilings of that old building.
Yes.
Yeah, it was something to behold, I'm sure. I hope nobody took pictures or video of that. But that will always mean a lot. And it was geared toward LGBT history. And that I thought was really important at the time it was happening.
Yeah. Lovely.
We recently met the gallery manager.
Jake?
Yes. Jake Foster?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. We met him at Da Vinci Art Alliance the day after we were at Pie Gallery because we were giving out more alcohol.
More cocktails.
You guys are great.
We're trying.
I mean, you're really gassing up the art world.
Yeah.
This is good.
I joke that we're kind of like cater waiters. That's how I'm going to buy the Louboutins.
Well, then everybody talks about those podcast people. They keep giving us wine.
Right.
We love them.
Yes.
I heard that more than once.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes. I said, you got to listen to our podcast. It's an obligation now. You got
Correct.
Free wine.
Exactly. It's part of the deal.
There's no free wine.
Jake Foster is doing a great job. I was on the art committee there for a while, and I left because they're doing so amazing.
Right.
And I've been so busy, and I feel like I haven't been able to really contribute in the way I'd want.
Yeah.
And they have all these young people.
Oh,
they have so
incredible.
Much energy. Yeah, I think they're going to be doing great things in the next few years.
I love it.
Stay tuned to the podcast.
Yes.
We want to get him on.
Yes. Do you have any current upcoming projects or exhibitions?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I'm heading to New York this weekend. Yes. I'm doing an exhibition at Studio 6 Gallery in the Lower East Side. It's on Rivington Street. It opens on Friday. I'm going to be in a group show, so I think there'll be a few different artists. I'll be there through the weekend doing some live painting and meeting people. And the show's up for about a little more than a week. It's a short exhibition, more of a pop-up, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I'm super excited because
yes.
I was asked to do this by one of my favorite graffiti artists in New York. And it's really geared towards street art and different elements that kind of spring out from that. So I'm not a street artist myself, but a lot of my work is heavily inspired by
right.
it. So it's a nice fit, I think.
That's lovely.
Then I'm heading to London for 2 months. Yeah.
I would stay there.
I haven't been there in years. So it's like I still didn't know. I'm like, do I get traveler's checks? How does this work? I don't know. Like, can I just get a credit card that works there? I had to do it. It was embarrassing. I had to do like research because I've been out of the country for a while, apparently. Yeah, I'm going. I'm staying at a friend's place, and he has a little art studio, so I'll be able to work. Perfect. And I launched this project that, if people are interested, they can connect with me on Instagram, and I'd be happy to explain it. But it's basically where you purchase a day from me in London for $100, and I will do an art piece for you there based on what I'm doing that day. And it could be a poem painting. It could be a sketch. It's something that would be in a sketchbook, so you're not going to get like a giant painting or anything. It's something that would be that I'm doing while I'm traveling.
Wow.
But it's for a really affordable price. And initially, when I came up with the idea, I wanted to find a way to ground myself. Like, I thought, what am I going to do in London for 2 months away from my studio? Oh, A, I'm not going to have any kind of income. So it helps a little bit to have people, you know, participating. But also, I was thinking I'd be a little lonely and I'd miss that interaction I have with people while I'm here in Philly. So it'll be kind of cool because it involves, you know, internet connections, a social media connection.
Right.
I'll be posting the work as I'm doing it. So people, hopefully we can have a nice conversation about what things are going on in the United States versus Europe.
Right.
Who knows where it's going to go. So hopefully the work will be good. I realize I have a lot to do. There's a lot of people who signed up, which I'm super excited
that's
about.
Great.
And there's still more days. So there's more days.
I'm imagining.
And you don't just have to buy one day. No. You can buy multiple
days.
That's
great.
That's true. They're good gifts. I know I won't be back until February, so they could be like late holiday gifts.
Yes.
Or a Valentine's gift.
Valentine's?
Yeah.
That's perfect. Think of your mom now.
I know. People be thanked online. I think everybody likes to be appreciated.
Yeah. Oh, that's lovely.
And I certainly appreciate it. We can't do this as artists without our collectors, without our supporters. And
right.
Some of us are very lucky to have that.
I'm thinking like fish and chips and cheesesteaks.
I'm a vegetarian. What are you talking about?
Oh, my gosh.
But I can draw those things.
Perfect.
Yeah, I know. I can draw them. I don't know what I'm going to do. It's going to be interesting.
Yes.
See what happens.
Oh, it's going to be great.
Are you in James Oliver? Is it James Oliver?
I've been in a group show with James Oliver, and I do have work.
Was that recent?
It was a few years ago.
Okay.
Everything's a few years ago, I think, because I'm not really sure when it was. But I love James. And I do have work at his gallery in the sort of store section he has. He's got a new space.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Yeah. I think I tried to go there in between shows, and you have to walk up the set of stairs, right?
Well, you used to have to go up many stairs.
Yeah.
Now he's on the second floor, and it's a beautiful space.
Still a lot when you're with a 5-year-old.
Well, yeah, I'd imagine that could be true. But it's way better than it was.
I want to check that out. You should too, Robert.
Yeah, excellent.
I also read that you were in Bluestone Gallery.
Oh, man. Remember that place? Yeah, years and years ago. Oh,
that is a TBT. That is a gallery that we bought one of the first paintings that we own.
Oh my gosh.
And I cannot remember the artist. I think maybe it was Ekaterina.
I remember her. Yep.
And we loved Pam.
Yes, Pam's amazing. She was wonderful.
Yeah. I miss it every time I go by. I'm like, I think that's where Bluestone used to be.
Yeah. I think it might be a thrift store.
Oh, okay.
It's the one I'm thinking, it's pretty cool.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah, Pam was wonderful. She gave me a solo show when I didn't know if I'd be able to do that.
Wow.
I was still kind of figuring out what I wanted to do as a painter, and she was amazing. So I do appreciate it. I'll always appreciate her.
Oh, that's amazing.
I'll have to tag her in this.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. I don't have her personal information.
She's still on Facebook.
Amazing.
Nice.
Yeah, she's doing well.
Where can people find you both online and in real life?
In real life, I go to a lot of coffee shops. I love Dirty Franks. I'm not a drinker, but I love it there. And I often help curate or judge their shows that they do. They have a great art gallery.
They do.
I think
they
it's very underestimated, but I actually buy a lot of art there. And if you're a beginning collector, it's a great place to really think about what kind of art you like at a good price point.
Yeah.
And there are amazing artists that show.
Oh,
truly, really, really good people. Where else do I go? Well, the best place to reach me is on social media. it because I'm always on there, apparently. I don't even know what my screen time is. I'm not looking. I don't have one of those alarms.
I had to turn it off.
I have to be on there. I know people are chatting, and I want to make sure I get back to them. Nice. Instagram, Natalie Hope McDonald. That's the best place to reach me. And if you have questions, you can just, you know, get in touch. If you want to buy a day in London, I'm happy to talk to you. I have an online calendar. I made it really fancy and easy, okay. Which is a lot for me because I have a paper calendar, guys. This is like, right. I was like, I have to do this online.
Analog.
This is horrible.
Lucinda and I were just talking about, like, as an artist, you have to be like a one-man show for everything.
Everything. You do it all. There are hilarious memes about this where there's like Victorian women laying back on couches going, I just finished my artist statement. And now I have to post a meme. And now I have to wrap all of the work and ship it. Yes. I do all. Oh, I'm at the post office a lot. If anyone wants to know what I do, I go to the post office and ship art all the
love
time.
That.
What is the best post office in Philadelphia?
Oh gosh, you know, I go to ones that I can get coffee nearby or do a little shopping. So I go to the one on 13th near Market often, and I also go to the one near Independence Hall a lot. So shout out to my ladies
at
the post office there.
Yep, yep.
They know me now. They're always like, fragile, right? I'm like, yeah, fragile. Everything's fragile. I invited them to art shows. They haven't shown up yet, but I'm hoping one day. I was like, aren't you curious what I'm sending?
Yeah.
All the time.
It's just in a box.
I have amazing collectors. I have one of my best collectors is in Montana, so I'm shipping things to her all the time.
Oh, that's like, great.
Are you serious? You want more art? This is amazing.
Yes, please.
I want to see your house. Yes. I want to know what's going on in there.
What is there? Tell her to send photos back.
I know, I do. I would like that very much.
We're going to close up with some rapid fire questions
for
you.
I'm afraid. I'm very scared of this.
No,
but
don't
let's
be.
See how it goes.
No, don't be.
Philadelphia art scene in one word.
Diverse.
If you could work in any other medium and achieve the same success you currently have, what would it be?
I would love to be an actor. Specifically, I would love to play a lawyer on television.
Oh, that's good.
Because I would never want to be a lawyer in real life, but I think it would be so fun on TV.
That would be great.
You can tell I watch a lot of Law and Order,
yes,
right? Okay.
Yes. Yeah. It's so good. If you could collaborate with any live artist, who would it be?
Oh my gosh. I mean, I love Shepherd Fairey. I do. I don't know how we would collaborate, but that could be fun. I like so many dead artists. This is terrible. Like everybody I'm thinking about, they're deceased.
It's okay.
We can't dig them up, can we?
We could.
No, we could. Tracy Emin. She's a British artist.
Okay.
She's amazing.
Excellent.
I would love that. Laurie Anderson has done some interesting visual art in addition to her music. I'm obsessed with Ryan Murphy and all of his productions, every one of them. I love every one of them. And I want to meet him so badly. I want to work with him. I don't know what possible capacity.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe art in the background. I don't care. Yes. I don't care what it is.
A round of F. Mary Kill. Now, you can do either the artists themselves or the artist's work. Up to you.
Okay.
Frida Kahlo, Mary Cassatt, Yayoi Kusama.
I would marry Frida. She seems fun.
Yeah. And she had her own house.
I know that I should like Mary Cassatt. She was really a pioneer for women. But I'd kill her.
Yeah. Done so.
I'd kill her art. Somebody's got to go. And I think... I love all those polka dots.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
F those polka dots.
Excellent.
F those polka dots. There's a woman who conned her way into the art world, the Anna Delvey of the art world, if you will. She said that she had sold and shipped this pumpkin sculpture priceless, and the purchaser paid, never got pumpkin sculpture.
There have been a few stories like this. I don't remember the pumpkin one, but there have been a few fraudulent art sales, and celebrities have been the targets a lot.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know about that one. If there should be a documentary about this.
I'll link it on the show notes.
Perfect. Ooh, I want to know. Please do. Share with me. I'd love to know. Anna Delvey, oh Lord.
Anna Delvey of the art world. I can't remember this woman's name. I think she was German, though.
Well, Natalie, thank you so much for the conversation.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. It's fun to be with you guys. I would hang out anytime.
Stop by.
For sure.
You know? It's so much fun. And you didn't even bring me wine or anything, right? Because that's what you've been doing to all of Philadelphia. But thank you. You guys are the best.
Thanks, Natalie.
Robert, I could have talked to Natalie for another hour.
Natalie's such a good storyteller as well. We could have definitely kept this going.
I think we might end up with matching Louboutin embellished dune boots.
Oh, yeah. You guys definitely are leaning into the shoes.
All right. Before we get into this weekend's picks, Robert, can you tell us about the event that you and I are hosting at the Print Center?
Super, super excited to be able to partner with the Print Center for their 110th anniversary benefit.
Whoa.
Yeah. Incredible. Incredible. We are going to be part of specifically the Emerging Collectors Preview. Join the Print Center for a special evening where the guests can preview the artwork up for bid, hear about the works from the artists who created them, and get insight on art collecting strategies. This is
what I need.
Right. This is beginner collector night. Come out. Come and learn. It's not like there's
no bad questions.
A $50,000 painting on the wall.
No pressure.
No. This is reasonable introductory artwork that is there for the artist to walk you through, to give you that backstory. This is going to be a fun night.
And Robert and I will be there, hopefully learning new things.
Yeah. The preview is free, but an RSVP is required, and it's going to be Tuesday, December 2nd.
We're going to link that in the show notes.
5 to 7, guys. Roll right out of work, right into the preview.
Happy hour.
Their closing celebration for the Print Center will be Saturday, December 6th, starting with a champagne reception and a main event starting at 6 p.m. Tickets starting at $75. You can grab their tickets at printcenter.org.
And we'll link that on the show notes. For this weekend and beyond, under $100, under $1,000, Philadelphia's Magic Gardens-inspired works by Philly artists opens on November 14th at Magic Gardens.
Philadelphia Sketch Club 165th Anniversary Gala is on November 15th. It's located on Camac, just south of U-Bar.
Group show titled Materiality is ongoing at Bridget Meyer Gallery, and that just opened last week.
Pi Gallery presents Tapestries by Nina Hans for the month of November.
An exhibition by Jake Weinstein Klinker is ongoing at Works on Paper Gallery.
Fernando Postigo's Postigo Express, documenting the Basque conflict in San Sebastian, 1977 to 2003, is ongoing at UPenn's Arthur Ross Gallery.
And finally, the traveling exhibition, Dreamworld Surrealism at 100, is ongoing at the PMA. Finally.
There's a lot out there. And with that, Philly has heart.
And art.
Destroying the workforce. Yeah. Into here.
Since 2001.
I canceled my subscription.
Yeah.
It was hard. It was hard and it wasn't, because I've been disappointed for a while now. Right. But yeah. That one just put me over the edge.
Yeah. I like all the memes. The get it, loser, we're going to destroy the workforce.
The memes.